Scott with SJ, wildfire.com. Hey, I'm pleased to announce Pastor Larry. We've talked a little bit about Pastor Larry and his Bible study. He's been studying Ephesians 6 for the last 3 to 4 years.
Good morning, or good afternoon, or good evening. This is Brother Larry again. We are talking about the being aware, being alert as believers, as Christians, as good soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to start by reading a passage in the scriptures, and that's Psalm chapter 2. So if you have your Bible, would you please turn there? It'd be easier to follow along if you did have a copy of the scriptures. Psalm chapter 2, starting in verse 1. We're going to speak a little bit today on the fact of the two worlds that the Bible talks about. Number one, it talks, first of all, of a spiritual world. And we went in depth on this. In fact, I believe if you don't believe in a spiritual world, there's no way you can be a Christian. Because the Bible says that God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So, number one, there's a spiritual world or a spiritual kingdom, whichever word you use to choose. There's also a physical world. And don't have to have any arguments about that we live in a physical world. And a lot of times, a few times the spiritual world kind of intrudes into the physical world. And if I could give you some biblical examples of that, would be Michael, the archangel, Gabriel, the angel who came to announce the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can read through the Old Testament, where prophets like Isaiah and Ezekiel were given visions of the spiritual world intruding into the physical world. We read in the Bible about the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament, who is a figure of Jesus Christ revealing himself in the Old Testament. That's for a different discussion, though. But the point being is that there is two worlds. The Bible definitely teaches this, the spiritual world and the physical world. Now, as we're going to read a passage on Satan, how he was created, we'll touch on that very briefly, but we will talk about that because it has to do with our subject today, which is called pride. So, to be brief, we know that Satan, if you're a Bible reader and a Bible studier, you know that Satan was created and God gave the spiritual beings, which are called angels, he gave them the freedom of choice, just like he has given all those in the physical world, the right to choose, a strong will to choose, both for the spiritual beings and for the physical beings. Now, we know that the angels were created with a strong will. God could show his love more thoroughly by having these beings say with their own free will that they love him. Or he gave them the strong free will to say, we do not love you, God. And that's what happened, not to God's surprise. That's what happened before the world was created, that angels chose to rebel, headed by their leader, Satan. That's where he comes from. And we talk of those fallen angels as demons or other terms that we would use. And Jesus encountered them in the New Testament when he walked this earth. So they are real. There's too many things. I explained this, I think, in podcast number 1, number 2, and number 3, that there's too many strange things happen in this physical world. I just heard last night on the news of a Marine recruiter who went and tried to kill two girls, tried to stab them to death for no reason whatsoever. a man that was awarded good conduct medals when he was a recruiter. Awarded good conduct medals when he was in the Marine Corps and was decorated. 25 years old, and he goes out and he decides he's going to kill someone. Why would he do this? Of course, the world would say, well, he's bipolar or whatever psychiatric term they would use. That could be true. Could it be caused by something else? The Bible says that Satan is a thief and a destroyer, and he's a murderer. Could it be that maybe he was influenced? And we hear this often, over and over, of people hearing voices in their head about telling to do these heinous crimes. Could it be the spiritual world? It's a possibility. And so we need, and I see here this happen more and more and more as time goes on. And Jesus said these things would happen. It'd be signs, it'd be strange things that would happen in our world. So as we look at Psalm 2, it's not only the spiritual world, but why do we look at mankind and why are they so set against Christianity? Now, the humanist or the atheist or the agnostic, they don't really criticize any other religion, but they pick on the God of the Bible. Yes, have to ask yourself why. Well, my answer is simple. The Bible says that Satan is a god of this age, or he's a god of this world. And we looked at passages for that, and we'll look at them again as we move on. But there's a passage in Psalm chapter 2, verse 1 that reads like this. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, speaking of Christ, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. There is a conspiracy, I use that term, to rid ourselves, or the world trying to rid itself of the God of the Scriptures, the God of the Bible. Well, we don't want him telling us what to do. He's too restrictive. He takes away my enjoyment. He takes away my pleasure. And that's what this passage is talking about. Let's break their cords. It's just a binding thing to us that we cannot do what we want to do. And so peoples conspire together. In fact, it was Hillary Clinton, and I don't like to get into politics, but Hillary Clinton who said the biggest problem we have today is Christianity. Excuse me? The biggest problem we have is Christianity. There are those in high places that conspire against God and his anointed. And we see this happening over and over. We see it in our schools. We see the schools. We see the government trying to get God out. And it's not just God in general, but it's a God of the Bible that they try to get rid of. And you have to ask yourself, why? Why is it just Jesus Christ and the God of the Bible? Because they look at it as being restrictive, not giving you enough freedom to do what you would like to do. So moving on, there's other passages we'd like to, and we need to be aware of this. We need to be aware of these things that are happening in our government, in our schools, in all of our institutions. Things that go against what Jesus Christ has taught, what his apostles has taught in the Word of God. So two worlds. There's a physical and there's a spiritual world. And this kingdom of Satan works against God and his kingdom. He's there to, and we see the whole combination in the book of Revelation. Satan is there to stop the plan, the purpose, and the programs of God. He knows that he can't get to God himself, but he can get through to his followers to try to stop God's plans from even happening. But we know that God is in control and that he will be victorious, and he wants us to be victorious as believers, because Satan will attack us as believers to get us to fall, to get us to ruin our testimony. We ruin our testimony for Christ. He sees it as Christ's purpose, suffering in this world. So the world in which we live, it's a two-sided world. And it's just plain and simple. I'm going to say it. It said there are those who are in league with God, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ, and those who are in league with the devil. That's black and white. That's the two kingdoms that I'm talking about. There's no fence sitters on this planet. Every person is committed to one or the other, whether they realize it or not. You realize if you're committed to Jesus Christ, but there's some people that are ignorant. And I say that in a good way. They just haven't been spiritually awakened, that they are ignorant to the devices of Satan himself. So everyone is committed to either one or the other. And Jesus said this, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll hold to the one or despise the other. So most of the world is committed to the physical and not the spiritual. Oh, they like to throw out the term spiritual, but they kind of live their lives as there's no spiritual world. Is it just living for the physical, living for the pleasure of it? Remember what John said in my last message? He said, this is from 1 John 2, verse 16. You can look it up. Just write the reference down. John says, for all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. This is not of the Father, but it is of the world. Now, we talked about what that word world means, and it all depends on context, what's being spoken of here. Because we know that in John 3:16, it says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Context determines that the world there means whosoever. If you read that in the context, it's talking about people that live in this world. Now, if you read here in 1 John 2:16, it says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. But if you go on and finish it in the 17th verse, it says, love not the things in the world. So the context determines that the world that's spoken of by John is the things that are in the world, not the people. It's not telling us to love not the people in the world. So there's no contradiction here. Love not the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, listen to what John says, the love of the Father is not in him. And that's what Jesus is talking about. Whom you love, you will serve. So if you love the world, you find yourself being held slave or being held captive to that world system. Now that world system is opposed of doing what God says not to do. For example, I gave a definition by Dr. Richard DeHaan on the biblical definition of the world, where he said that it's the moral and spiritual system we call human society. Mankind, which rejected God's revelation, has devised explanations of life, moral standards, and principles of conduct based upon human knowledge only. Man on the whole operates on erroneous ideas, selfish principles, and desires. The sciences, the arts, politics, and entertainment are all dominated by a humanistic approach to life, which draws many people away from God and makes man the measure of all things. Did you understand what that meaning was? So that's the definition of the world that we're talking about when John says, love not the world or the things that are in the world. The love of the Father cannot dwell in a person that loves the world. And he also says in his letter in chapter 5, verse 19, he says, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in wickedness. Why? Because it opposes God. And we know that the Son of God is come and has given us an understanding that we may know him, as Christ, who is the truth. And we are in him who is true, even his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Now, let's again, for the refreshing of our memories, let's turn to the book of Ephesians, and that's our main book that we are taking our lessons from on spiritual warfare. So I just want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 2. It's after the book of Galatians. Chapter 2 and verse 1, the book of Galatians. And remember, it's the word of God that makes a difference, not my opinions. I want you to see this from the word of God, because we believe here that the Bible is the word of God. Verse 1 in chapter 2 of Ephesians. And you has he made alive, King James has quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to, listen to the next statement, the prince of the power of the air, that's Satan, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. If you're not saved, if you're not a believer, if you're not a Christian, you're walking in disobedience to God because you have not come to the Savior. You have disobeyed him. If you're in the sound, the range of my voice, I would urge you, I would plead to you, turn to Jesus Christ to be your Savior. So let's move on to the passage. Where in times past you walked. Walk means this was your life. He's talking to Christian believers. It says you used to do this. You walked according to the course of the world system, which is lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's what dominated our life. It doesn't say we're always in error, but by and far, we walked after our lusts, what we wanted, what we desired. We were looking out for old number one. And you walked according to the prince and the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our behavior. King James's conversation, that word's not used anymore for behavior. Had our behavior in times past, speaking to believers, in the lusts of our flesh. Allah, 1 John 2:15. In the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we're by nature, and that's an important term, we're all born with a sin nature. And we were dead in our sins when we were born. And as we move on, we walk according to the course of the world. We choose to do it. We choose to disobey. We choose to sin. We are following the ways of the world. And the scriptures say, and Paul says in Ephesians, we were fulfilling the desires of our flesh and of our minds. See, we thought the way the world thought. And we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. The children of wrath, what a statement to make. Bible says right here in this passage, if you are living apart from Jesus Christ, you are under the wrath of God. But God is merciful, is he not? He is waiting for you. But someday his wait will be over. God is long-suffering, more so than we are. But there's a time when God will say, enough is enough. But I like the next verse, verse 4, and we'll end with this. But God, boy, if it wasn't for that little phrase, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love whereby he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, he has quickened or made us alive together with Christ, and by grace are you saved. God's Spirit came down in the physical form, the human form of Jesus Christ. And because he is gracious, he didn't leave mankind under his wrath. See, men and women, you have to make that choice. You have to make that choice to come out from this world and of your sinful pleasures, and to repent and come to the Lord Jesus Christ. See you next week. Thank you. Oh, by the way, I was told by Scotty, please pass this on if you find blessing and you want to share it with somebody else. Thank you. See you next week.